Well, really the message was in that song, those who trust him wholly find him wholly true. Stayed upon Jehovah, hearts are fully blessed, finding as he promised perfect peace and rest. Well, that's what we want to talk about tonight, the rest that we can find in the Lord Jesus Christ. We're looking at Jesus' words as we move through the Gospels chronologically, and the title of this evening's message is Finding Rest. Let's ask God's help. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray that as we come to your word tonight, this would enter deep into our hearts and souls. I pray, dear Heavenly Father, that we might be able to find the rest daily that is in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we pray it for his sake. Amen. Dennis comments, my dentist tells me to floss every day. My doctor wants me to watch my weight and wants me to exercise. My accountant wonders why I don't keep better records. My colleagues want me to solve problems, answer emails, SMSs, return phone calls. They want me to meet deadlines and be better, cheaper, faster. My wife Barbara wants me to spend time with her. She says things like, I've missed being able to share things with you recently. She also wants me to help redecorate the house, keep things fixed, and look after the yard. I'm expected to spend time playing with the kids, impart values to them, know their friends, be involved with their schools, and prepare them for life. My church wants me to be available, willing to serve, teach Sunday school. On top of that, I receive pleas for community involvement, and I need to be an informed voter on all the candidates and issues. Now, our to-do list mightn't look exactly like that one, but I feel the pressure of that list, and I feel something of the exhaustion from it. How do we find rest in the midst of the realities, pressures, and to-do lists of life? The single most important message to communicate to the lost is how they might come into a relationship with Jesus Christ, how they might be found, how they might be saved. And the most important message to communicate to the found is how to find rest, because that is also about relationship. It's about dependence. It's about loving God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Finding rest was a central message of the Saviour. Tonight we retrace our steps a little. The last four messages have been dealing with Jesus' words in and around the region of Capernaum in Galilee. Message one, our gracious Lord looked at Jesus' very kind and generous words to John the Baptist as John the Baptist had questions about Jesus' ministry. Of course, we have the same Saviour who has the same words of grace toward us as we have questions. Message number two was judging God was about the indifferent cities of Chorazin, Bethsaida, and Capernaum. They didn't reject Jesus, they just didn't care about him. Message three, growing in love, considered one lady of bad reputation who heard Jesus' words. She realized who he was. She came to him with an extravagant love and worship. One lady in the midst of so much indifference in those three cities. As Jesus concluded his words to the indifferent cities, he issued a gentle and loving invitation. Had the woman of bad reputation heard these words and responded? Well, we wonder. Message four, heart and words followed Jesus' comments to the Pharisees in particular as they rejected him and said that his works were done by the power of Satan. It was a false accusation and his comments. We looked at his comments in regard to their rejection of him. So wedged between the indifferent cities and the rejecting Pharisees, the hostile Pharisees, is a gentle, loving invitation that touched the heart of some, and quite possibly this lady of bad reputation. I want to go back to those gentle, loving words and look at them. So have your Bibles open at Matthew chapter 11 and verse 28, Matthew 11 and verse 28. I want to go back to those words, and I admit to you that part of the reason I want to go back to them is because these are some of my favourite words in all of Scripture, and I've repeated them many times during my ministry at this church. In Matthew 11 to chapter 11 and verse 28 we read, come to me, all you who labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest to your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden light. So in those three verses, Jesus gives us three commands that enhance our rest if we will only follow those commands, if we'll only obey them. May we find his rest tonight in a way that we've never found his rest before. The first command that enhances rest is come. Verse 28, come to me, all you who labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. In that verse is a command. There's an audience that Jesus is speaking to, and then there's a promise. The command is come to me. It's not a command to come to a religion or come to a church. It is a command to come to Christ. When a person comes to Christ, they leave where they were. They leave the road that they were traveling physically to actually come physically to them. They had to leave the way they were going and come to him. Though Jesus doesn't mention the word repent, it is repentance that is implied. They should change the direction from their way and come to Jesus and be with him thereafter. Many would have heard those words, come to me, but only some actually came. Maybe the woman of bad reputation was one of them, but whoever came needed an understanding of who Jesus was, and they needed a desire to come. And so it required a work of God's Holy Spirit in their hearts and lives. For a person to be saved, God's grace is needed. And the response of human faith is needed. They're both needed for salvation. And we come to a person, the most beautiful person that we could ever come to. At his invitations, some came in faith. And they came in repentance because they changed the direction from where they were going to the direction Jesus was going. They came to Christ as both Lord and Saviour. They came to him, yes, to find rest through his salvation, but they also came realising that there would be a yoke, as he explained that to him, to them. There would be a submission to Christ. He would be both Saviour and Lord. So then, come to me was both a command and a gracious invitation. A response required repentance and faith to come to Jesus as both Lord and Saviour. Coming to Christ is described with other words elsewhere in the New Testament, words like believing on him, trusting him, confessing him, and most shockingly, eating him and drinking him, eating his flesh and drinking his blood, hearing him, dining with him. All these words describe a new and wonderful relationship with the Saviour. May I ask, children, teens, adults, have you ever come? The audience that were issued the invitation to come were all those who labour and are heavy laden. Yeah, there was more that heard those words, but the ones that were going to hear those words were those that would be labouring and heavy laden. To labour is to work to the power of exhaustion. It could be working and working to try and make our way to God, but we know we just haven't made it. Or it could be working and struggling in life like Dennis, with that list, that to-do list that we mentioned at the beginning of the message, and coming to the conclusion, I just can't do this anymore. I need help. I'm exhausted. Whilst labour refers to what I've chosen to do, heavy laden refers to the burdens that are put on me. They could be burdens like what the Pharisees put on the people, all these lists of do's and don'ts. Or it could be referred to the circumstances of life, the trials and the problems just begin to heap up in our lives. The load to be carried in life can get heavier and heavier. The heavy laden comes to the conclusion, this is too much. I can't carry this alone. Both those who labour and those who are heavy laden realize they have come to the end. They realize they're laboring. They realize they're heavy laden. It's a crisis. How can they go on? And Jesus comes and whispers, come to me. Once a person has reached the point of laboring and being heavy laden, they're glad to come to Christ. There is a joy and a relief, giving a future and a hope in coming to him. And number three, the promise given in verse 28 is, I will give you rest. You'll no longer labour and be heavy laden if you come to me. I will give you rest, Jesus says. You'll no longer have to face life alone. You'll no longer have to try and work your way to heaven. You can trust in Christ's finished work on the cross to be saved. To find rest is to be refreshed and revived. The rest found is the rest found in trusting. It is possible to say that you belong to Christ. It is possible to say that you belong to Christ, and yet you've never really trusted him. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 12 says, Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. And in regard to such people, verse 11 says, So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Hebrews 4 adds, Therefore, since a promise remains of entering his rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it. For indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them, but the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. For we who have believed do enter that rest. And in contrast, as he has said, So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. There's a contrast there in verse 3 between us who have believed and enter that rest. Although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. The works were planned from the foundation of the world. It was this, as if those works of Christ had already been done. Ben Kubasek, an Ontario building contractor, started out when he was age 21. And his goal was to be a success. 6 years later, he had a net worth of over $1 million, along with a plush home, a good wife, children, good friends. He was living the good guy life. He even spent considerable time helping out in his church, but his God was success. Ben had achieved his dream, but suddenly it all became a nightmare. He had made serious cash, but a terrible price had been paid in his mind and his body. 80-hour weeks at work and plenty busy at home had taken their toll. He was exhausted and heavy laden. Then one day, like a flash fire, he writes, Burnout engulfed me. He states, It sent me spiraling into a state of depression that almost led to suicide. For several months, Ben lived in a tortured state of exhaustion. He couldn't do it anymore. Come to me, all you who labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Ben did, and he found that rest. Dave Enger tells another story. When Dmitri was released from prison in Siberia in the dead of winter, the jail doors were open at midnight, and he was just pushed out by the guards. His parents were dead. He had no other family. His friends were 100 miles away if they weren't in jail themselves. He'd been on the streets since age 10, and by 15 he was an alcoholic. He'd been arrested for hooliganism, and he'd been in prison for 4 years, and now at midnight they just sent him away, no money, and he started walking toward town. He had no place to go, no one to turn to. As he trudged along, he was stopped by a man not much older than he was, who asked him a couple of questions. Have you just been released from prison? Do you have anywhere to go? Dmitri admitted he did not. Come home with me, the man offered. He gave him bread, soup, tea, a place to stay, and he told him about the Saviour. A short time later, Dmitri believed. Dave says, When I met him, he was a student at Bible school, preparing to help others who had reached the end and couldn't do it anymore by themselves. And his message to the exhausted and broken people, Come unto me, all you who labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Where are you tonight? Do you need to come to Christ? Have you come to him as Lord and Saviour to submit your life to him and to thank him for dying in your place. And if you're okay tonight, if you are saved, as I assume most of you are, would you ask the Lord to lead you to exhausted, broken people who have come to the end of themselves? And what scripture would you show them? Might it not it be Matthew 11:28, where Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." The second command, if obeyed, also enhances rest. It is take. Verse 29. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest to your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I'll underline the words take and learn. Take my yoke upon you relates to verse 30, which is also about the yoke. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And the promise is, and you'll find rest to your souls. Also those words, and learn from me, are associated with the words, for I am gentle and lowly in heart. That's what you learn from Jesus, and you'll find rest to your souls. So having sorted that out, let's consider the command take and the words associated with it. This time there's a command, there's an explanation, and there's a promise. First, the command in verse 29. Take my yoke upon you. Now, the yoke has nothing to do with eggs, of course. A yoke was a wooden harness. It was hand-shaped to fit the individual animal that would wear it. The yoke was to keep the animal or animals under control, and therefore the yoke became a symbol of submission. For example, a student would have been considered to be under the yoke of his teacher. It was a common way, a common idiom in their society. To take Christ's yoke would therefore mean to become his submissive disciple. The picture I have of a yoke is not an oxen yoked with Christ behind driving that oxen, maybe ploughing ground or something. The picture I have of a yoke is of two oxen together with a yoke between them. One is me and one is the Lord Jesus Christ. I do not go my own way. I do not go at my own pace, for I am yoked to him. I let him lead and walk beside him, not ahead of him, not behind him. He doesn't drive me. He walks with me. Second, the explanation. Christ's explanation of his yoke is in verse 30. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. The word easy carries the idea of well-fitting and therefore means good or kind. So Christ's yoke is good. Christ's yoke is kind. The burden is light because he takes the weight. He is the one that enables. He is the one who shoulders that load as we move together. To put a yoke on someone who is exhausted already seems cruel. But verse 30 promises, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. The exhausted man or woman is better off being yoked to Christ and letting him take the load with them rather than trying to do it themselves. That's what paraclete means. It means someone who comes alongside to help. Christ gives his spirit, the holy paraclete, to enable us. We read in John 16 and verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the helper, the paraclete, will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. The yoke of submission is not a weight. It's a joy. It's a delight. 1 John 5 and verse 3 adds, For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not burdensome. Not like the commandments of the Pharisees that weighed people down. His burden is light. It's a delight for the Christian to walk with Christ. The trials that were once burdens are no longer burdens, because we see what he's doing in those trials. We see that he's shaping us to be like him as we walk with him. And he bears the load with us through the trials. We don't go through those trials alone. The heavy work of salvation has been done by Christ. So to please him in obedience is a pleasure. It's not a duty. And thirdly, the promise is at the end of verse 29, and you'll find rest to your souls. Now, the rest that is mentioned in verse 28 is different to the rest that is mentioned in verse 29. In verse 28, it says, come to me and I will give you rest. In verse 29, it says, take my yoke upon you and you'll find rest to your souls. The rest in verse 28 is talking more about salvation, a peace with God, as in Romans chapter 5 and verse 1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We're no longer the enemy of God. Peace has been made through the reconciliation of the cross. But the rest in verse 29 is talking more about the peace of God, the peace that I can experience in daily life. For example, that peace is spoken of in Philippians 4, 6 and 7. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. So the peace in verse 28 is a rest from works, and the peace in verse 29 is a rest from the weights of life. When we come to Christ, we find rest, and as we walk with Christ, we find an even deeper rest. The more we trust him, the deeper will our rest be. Hudson Taylor is a faith hero of mine because he learned how to find rest and he lived it out in circumstances that were far more difficult than I'll ever experience. How to find rest in Christ is no secret, yet is something that few of us enjoy. When he first understood resting, Hudson Taylor wrote, listen carefully, because there's not many times he repeats this, but the understanding is here. He is most holy. He is most holy is he who has most of Christ within, who rejoices most fully in his finished work. It is defective faith which pulls against Christ's yoke. To let my loving Saviour work in me his will, and what is his will? That we be made like his Son. So Hudson Taylor says, to let my loving Saviour work in me his will, my sanctification, is what I live for by his grace. Abiding, not doing the work myself, not struggling against what he brings, but trusting him for present power. Resting in the love of Almighty Saviour. Resting in the joy of complete salvation. I feel as though the dawning of a glorious day has risen upon me because he started to understand this. I seem to have got to the edge only of a boundless sea, to have sipped only of that which fully satisfies. Christ is the power, the only power for service, the only ground for unchanging joy. His yoke is easy and his burden is light, and therefore you will find rest to your souls. Christ walks in the right direction at the right pace. Let's abide, let's not pull against him, and we find the rest, because then his yoke is easy and his burden is light. Isaiah 26 and verse 3 says, you will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts in you. And that's why we sung about, stayed upon Jehovah, hearts are fully blessed. Obeying the third command can bring a completion of rest. And the third command is learn. Come, take, learn. Verse 29 in the second part says, and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest to your souls. Again, there's a command, an exclamation, and a promise. First, the command in verse 29, and learn of me. That's a command. It's not a suggestion. It's a command. Learn from me. The Greek word for learn is related to the Greek word for disciple. So the concept there is a learner learns, a student studies, a disciple is discipled. The verse could read, and be discipled of me. It's not so much learning facts as learning and understanding the character of Christ. And we'll find him to be humble and gentle, to be discipled of him, to learn of him, to be humble and gentle. You draw away from a proud and harsh person, but you draw towards a humble and gentle person. That person will understand. That person will care. That person is trustworthy. Your heart is at peace with a humble, gentle person, and you will find rest to your souls. So the explanation in verse 29 is, "For I am gentle and lowly in heart." That's principally what we want to learn. And the promise in verse 29 is, "And you'll find rest to your souls." So as we come to know Christ well, it won't be an effort to trust him. We'll simply rest in his goodwill. Now, we come to Christ as a single action, that's salvation. And we take his yoke upon us as a one-time action, submission. From then on, he is Lord and we are the servant. But learning of Christ is continuous. And as we continue to learn of him, so our trust of him also increases. The better we know him, the more we rest. And if we do not find rest in Christ, it's because we don't yet know him very well. Our task then is to learn of him, to know that he is humble and gentle, to know that he is loving and wise, to know that his choice of direction and pace is always right for me, even if it doesn't make sense at the time. So as we come, we find peace with God, and we find rest from our work. As we take his yoke upon us, we find the peace of God and rest from the weights of life. As we learn of him, there is a deepening peace throughout our Christian experience, and we find rest from the worries of life. It's a wonderful place to be in that place of rest because we trust him so fully. Others observing Hobson Taylor's changed life said, "He's a joyous man now, a bright, happy Christian. He had been a toiling, burdened one before, with latterly not much rest of soul. But now he's resting in Jesus and letting him do the work, which makes all the difference. Whenever he spoke in meetings after that, a new power seemed to flow from him. And in the practical things of life, new peace possessed him. Troubles did not worry him as before. He cast everything on God in a new way and gave more time to prayer." So what about us? We mutter and splutter. We fume and we spurt. We mumble and grumble. Our feelings get hurt. We can't understand things. Our vision grows dim when all we need is communion with him. Relationship, dependence, love, abiding, intimacy. "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you'll find rest to your souls. My yoke is easy and my burden is light." May we find that rest. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your word tonight, and pray as we sing and think even on the words of the song will help us to find that rest in Christ. Thank you, dear Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.